Jesus had preached on this divine process of procreation and rebirth of man's soul in the image of God as essential to immortality. The process was not a matter of written law, scripture, or sacrifice, but a holy act regulated by the divine laws of heaven. He had preached of the true God of heaven, who was not the author of this world, and had declared that those reborn must put away the ways of the world and live the way of God. Jesus had revealed to his disciples the sacred way, hidden from the world because of its hallowedness, and held secret by the sect that bred him. The sect knew that humanity was the progeny of dark angels who, having fallen away from the righteousness of God, lost the power of spiritual reason and caused to be generated the dark worlds, which generated the universe of matter. Any person taking up the way exposed oneself to the creative and generative forces of the universe. Unless one led a disciplined life, a person being subject to powers greater than one's own human powers would seek self-expression, as had the dark angels, and fall victim to their influence. Since time immemorial, these dark angels had established themselves as gods over men and women. As malevolent deities, they demanded sacrifice, appeasement, and enslavement of the human intellect. In exchange for such worship, they offered material wealth and power. The result of their rule could be observed on all levels of human activity, and in the transitory nature of life in a degenerate world by any enlightened member of the order. The secular religion of the Jerusalem priesthood in control of the temple, like so many state-regulated religions of the world at large, was deficient in knowledge of the true God preached by Jesus. The priesthood, ignorant of the true God, based their theology on a traditional form of worship, on sacrifice and Levitical purity, on moral laws and written scripture that dominated their way of life. The priests considered the teachings of Jesus to be heretical. He was punished and eventually put to death for attempting to alter that which was written. To them, Jesus' teachings was abstract, impractical, fanatical, without value in the so-called real world, where the sole duties of the national religion were the improvement of society and the alleviation of want and suffering. Existing religion, not divine aid, was expected to improve the human condition. An idea continued in modern times by nationalism, which teaches that the state can improve society by the administration of civil law, that is, by governing the human condition and by excluding any divine laws that regulate the human spirit. By the voice speaking to his soul, the man knew that the Christian churches that claimed to have succeeded the ministry of Jesus had not carried on the tradition of spiritual rebirth by means of the appearance of God's image and word. Furthermore, they had not preserved the sacred teachings on the source of divine nourishment, prerequisite to a reborn soul as proclaimed by Jesus, nor had they preserved knowledge of the way that was essential to his followers. Like the priests of those orthodox sects in control of the temple in Jerusalem, opposed by Jesus and his followers, the churches have carried on the more secular tradition of the old law, making of Jesus a sacrifice to a wrathful and vengeful God as atonement for the sins of man. This secular tradition merely replaced the sacrifice of animals, thus preserving the worship of an earth deity, a practice common to the pagan religions of antiquity. The sacred doctrine of the appearance of God's image and word as a living creative force regulated by heavenly law was lost by the failure of Jesus' followers to preserve the knowledge of the true God, entrusted into their care by Jesus as Messiah, teacher, and interpreter of the law. As a consequence, the churches became apostate, teaching the greatest of all heresies, that God's word is perpetuated by the churches and that it is confined to the pages of biblical scripture. These heresies were compounded by the doctrine that salvation of the soul is attained by faith and belief, rather than by a spiritual transformation of the spirit as a divine process regulated by the living word of God, manifest in the image of light, sent from heaven, and not by written law, sacrament, dogma, or creed. Jesus, messenger of God, sent to teach the way, was elevated to the Godhead, worshipped and adored, as were the gods of primitive religions. Knowledge of the way he revealed to his followers was rejected, misunderstood, and put aside. The voice of the divine presence continued to instruct the consciousness of the man's soul in sanctified oration, and he understood that the Holy Spirit had departed Israel following the breaking of the covenant and the passing away of the prophets. The covenant had been renewed afresh by amendments and supplements under Jesus in a new and more meaningful manner. Jesus had revealed to the sect who had held to the old covenant the way of the new covenant and the fountainhead of the true bread of life. And as scripture states, they did eat and were satisfied according to the word of God. The light of God manifest in the spiritual sun was their source of food during the daylight hours. God had given them heavenly bread to eat and the living waters of fire. As a new generation of man that had evolved over countless centuries, the ascetics under Jesus were able to absorb the rays of the sun according to sacred and ancient rites for which they were prepared, something not possible for the novice. Only at night after the sun had set did they eat of earthly food, and then only with prayers according to their tradition. By these means, God dwelled with those of the righteous community who disciplined their physical bodies while allowing their spirits to commune with the light manifest. The new covenant declared by Jesus to the sect that had awaited his coming since their withdrawal into the desert, away from the formalized religion of Israel, was to begin a new era for humanity, a returning to the Godhead and a renewal of the human spirit in preparation for the coming messianic kingdom promised by God to be established at his second advent in the end times of the earth. With the crucifixion of Jesus, the martyrdom of his disciples, and the continued persecution of the faithful remnant of the sect who preserved the teachings revealed by Jesus, the sacred doctrines were lost to the later communities and churches who created a faith system out of the scattered teachings that remained. Hebrew scripture was seized upon and used as a basis for the new religion, proclaimed as Christianity in the ensuing centuries. The formalized religion that followed did more to perpetuate Orthodox Judaism and the Mosaic Law, with emphasis on blood sacrifice and atonement, than it did to reveal the true God as preached by Jesus. What followed in place of the transforming spiritual process of new birth and life, exemplifying the new spiritual man as taught by Jesus, was a belief system of dogmatic concepts, worship, and symbolic ritualistic sacrifice, which only tended to give renewed life to older teachings. The Holy Spirit, which had been renewed under Jesus and again at Pentecost, when the manifesting image and word was declared, not in human speech, but in the language of spirit incarnating in those renewed souls, gathered under the spiritual sun. For a second time departed the land and his people. However, in accordance with the prophecy of Jesus, God's light would shine forth in the advent of his final appearance in greater magnitude than it had before.